Amen. Just look what God has done. My, my, my. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. How many's glad your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Come on, that's what He done. That's what He done. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Glory to God. Just as a testimony this morning, if you've ever been healed, if you've ever been touched, if you've ever been blessed, just give the Lord a wave offering this morning. Look what He's done. Look what He's done. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory. Praise God. My, my, my. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know, but I've got an inkling, just a feeling, that the storm ain't over.
Hallelujah.
I said, I got a feeling that the storm ain't over. I'm not talking about the storm of yesterday. I'm talking about that wind of righteousness as it blows over the lands. You Bible readers know that things are happening. I said, you Bible readers know. Come on. I know it comes as a thief in the night, but you Bible readers know what's about to happen. Amen. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, glory to God, we're going to be changed. Hallelujah. This old corruptible is going to take on incorruptibility. Hallelujah. We will forever be with the Lord. Glory to God. In a transformed way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No wonder the prophets couldn't help but say it's like fire shut up in my bones. Amen. Glory to God. I feel a wave coming on. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. If you have your Bibles this morning, go with us to the book of Jeremiah the prophet. Glory to God. Do not let this time of praise cease. Come on, if you can praise Him in the song, you can praise Him in the word. If you can praise Him in the dance, you can praise Him, amen, when God begins to speak to us through His word. Hallelujah. From the book of Jeremiah, let us go to chapter number 17, verses 9 and 10. From the book of Jeremiah. Chapter number 17, verses 9 and 10. When you get there, give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. We're glory. Thank you, Lord. The prophet's writing in verse 9 and 10 of the 17th chapter of Jeremiah. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, for your blessing, for your anointing. God, that you are mindful of this people. God, that you care so much about us to bless us. God, to pour out of your Spirit upon this congregation. God, help us to realize where our blessing and our strength comes from. Father, we ask again, God, that you just anoint these lips of clay this morning. God, Lord, that we'll step aside and let the Holy Ghost speak to us. God, that you would use this vessel, God, to give us that you want us to hear, that we might be submissive, obedient, God, to your word and to your will. Lord, you know this congregation. You know the hearts of this congregation. If there be any need this morning, God, we know that you can supply that need. God, if there be any sickness, we know that you are the healer of our body. God, if there's anyone here today that's uncertain about where they're going to spend eternity, God, we know that you are our salvation. Again, we ask your blessing and your anointing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One more hand clap for Jesus. You may be seated. Glory to God. Deceitful and desperately wicked. This morning I want to touch on a message from Jeremiah the prophet to the backsliding people of Israel, and especially of Judah. If I had a message title this morning, it would be in the form of a question. What's in thy heart? Not what you profess, not what you show, but what's in your heart? What is in that heart that's safely locked away, where it's not shared, where it's not opened up, but it's in the secret most part of that heart? We know the heart to be the pumping station that sustains life. We also know the heart is the last thing that gives up life. When all other parts of the body begin to deteriorate and begin to grow numb, they tell me that the vitals, the blood is redirected, and it doesn't go to the extremities anymore, but it goes to save that pumping station, that heart. Here, the prophet Jeremiah chooses to use the analysis of the heart to describe our innermost thoughts and our innermost feelings. Can I convey to you this morning that there's things that we hold in our hearts that we never feel comfortable about sharing with anyone or anybody? They're there for whatever reason. Sometimes they begin to be a hindrance to us, but we ask the Lord to help us and to give us strength. We try to go on and profess something other than what is really in our heart. There's been insightful and comical conversation about what do you say when someone walks up and says, "What do you think about my new suit?" And you think it's one of the ugliest pieces of material you've ever seen in your life, but yet you do not want to share with your heart, so you tell them, "It's really unique. Very nice." But in your heart of hearts, you're not willing to confess what is really there. That's one thing, to share somebody's feelings. But it's something very different when we approach the throne of God. Amen. And if there's something in our heart that we're not willing to share with God, I've got news for you. He already knows what it is. Let me get back to the children of Israel, and specifically here in Judah. Remind us exactly in this chapter what's been going on. The children of Israel have forgotten the blessings of God. They have grown cold and indifferent from the leadership of God. Isn't it amazing when the wilderness, boy, they was really close to God and really wanted God to hear their prayer, but in the comfort of the heritage that God had blessed them with, in the comfort of the land that flowed with milk and honey, they sort of said, "God, you can take a little time off. We got everything under control right now." The first thing you knew, they began to go up to the groves and they began to erect statues and idols and began to be like other people. Can I warn you, Christian? No matter how enticing it is, no matter how alluring it is, we don't need to be like other people. Christians are not supposed to be like other people. We are a chosen generation. We are a peculiar people, meaning that we have been set aside. We are heirs and joint heirs to the kingdom of God. We are supposed to walk different, act different, and be different than the world, amen? Because Christ has brought us out of that environment and set us into His holy kingdom. You're glad to be a Christian. If you're unashamed to be a Christian, put your hands together today in appreciation for what God has done. Hallelujah. What is in thy heart? The prophet called it deceitful and desperately wicked. Because even though there were idols erected, the children of Israel still professed to be a godly people. Still profess to lift up
Jehovah God, to obey and live and react by His word, when in reality their heart was serving other gods, was looking elsewhere. We know sin has consequences. How many is thankful that Jesus died on the cross for our many, many sins? But sin has consequences. Man, we're taught and told in the Bible how that seed sown can spring up, amen, in sinful and unholy situations. I believe with all of my heart that the blood of Jesus washes away our sin, but sin has consequences. Sin can cause grief. Sin can cause problems. Sin can cause diversity in the home. It can cause all manner of situations. And this sin had been and crept into the camp of Israel and caused the heart of Israel to become ungrateful and unholy and unappreciative of what God had blessed them with. If you see a similarity in the nation that we live in today, man, that is so very true. Once it was proudly proclaimed, "In God we trust." Now it's tried to be getting off of every public piece of currency or a public place in the world. Let me tell you something. They can take it off the walls, but in God I still trust. Hallelujah. They can tear down every 10 commandments, but I still hold to the commandments of God and to the word of God. They can never take it from the tables of my heart. And we as Christians, we as born again children of God, ought to proclaim that in the day and hour that you and I are living in. Sin has consequences. Jeremiah the prophet said in these preceding verses in the 17th chapter, I want to read verse 1. "The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with a point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars." Hidden. It is hard to forget or hard to receive forgiveness of sin when we try to hide it in our hearts. In our spirit, when we're not willing to confess and repent and be of a broken and contrite spirit before God Almighty, because we don't want God to know, when in actuality He knows already. It's time to come clean. It's time to confess. It's time to get it out of the portals of our heart and on the altar. Not to have it graven upon the tables of our heart where it's neatly and protectively placed where no one will ever know. This is what the children of Israel were experiencing. God also says through His prophet, "I will give thy substance and thy treasures to the spoil," to your enemy. There's a scripture in the Bible pertaining to blocked blessings. You know what blocked blessings are? You know what they're attributed to? The sin of man. There are so many blessings that our Heavenly Father wants to rain down upon us, but we as a nation, we as a people have blocked those manifold blessings with the sin of all the things, amen, that we're trusting in when we should be trusting in our Heavenly Father. I still hold to the fact that if we seek Him first, not seek Him as we seek everything else, because if we do that, He will slip from number one and progressively go down in importance. But if we seek Him first, and I believe there ought to be a great gulf between number one and number two. We ought to seek Him no matter what. We ought to seek Him whatever we're going through. We ought to seek Him in the morning, in the evening, at night, every day of our life. God, what is it You would have me to do? God, what is it that I can do for You? Because I don't want these other things to creep in and block my blessings. God says, "I'll give you substance and your treasures to the spoil. You will lose your heritage and serve your enemy in a land which thou knowest not." I've heard people say, "How did we get here? How did we get to this point? Can I tell you, we have no further place to look but in the mirror. One very profound grandpa said, what one generation allows becomes the norm of the next generation. You and I know assuredly that there are things done and openly confessed in this world today that 15 or 20 years ago was considered an abomination. Can I tell you, it's still an abomination. It's just that we have been subjected to all of this. This erosion of morality, this erosion of spirituality, this great onslaught of political correctness, when we're more concerned about what somebody might think of us than we are about whether our heart is right with God. What's in your heart? What's in your heart? Amen. It's time to root it out. It's time to purge it out. You lose your heritage and serve your enemy in a land which thou knowest not. And if none of those words stir our hearts today, I pray that the very words of God through the prophet Jeremiah, when he said, you have kindled a fire in my anger. It's what God said through Jeremiah the prophet. God, let me be the recipient of your mercy. God, let me be the recipient of your grace, of your forgiveness. God, let me never go to where I kindle the fire in your anger. God, let me never be disobedient to the point, God, that you want to take away the blessings that you have bestowed upon me. God, help me to be mindful every day, even through unanswered prayers, even through times of devastation, even through times when I don't understand, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. God, help me to never forget where you brought me from. Help me to never lose sight of where I'm going. God, let me be thankful. Let me lift you up through every circumstance. God, clean my heart. Create within me a right spirit. He goes on to say that cursed is the man that trusteth in man. The nation has its eyes and hopes set on the wrong thing. We're looking for a leader. We're looking for a person that fits our hopes and dreams. Can I tell you, I don't see that happening. Man is man. Man is weak. Man is flesh. Flesh is subject to fall. Can I encourage us as children of God to put our faith and trust in Him? Regardless, there is no reason not to. Come on, whatever we're facing, there is no reason not to trust in God. Even when we can't see the miracle that God is doing. Even when we can't see the door that He is opening. Amen. Just say, God, I know that you know better than I do. I know, God, that as long as I follow you, you won't lead me astray. God, help me not to look to the left. Help me not to look to the right. But help me keep my spiritual eyes focused on you and walk where you would have me to walk and go where you would have me to go and do what you would have me to do. God, because I can't do it alone, but with you all things are possible. Well, if you believe that, if you really believe that in your heart, give God praise this morning. Glory to God. If you continue to turn your heart to strange gods, you continue to worship in the groves, That's not where your ancestors led you. That's not where the God, Jehovah God, delivered you, led you through the wilderness. He didn't place you into the land of plenty to worship other gods. But if you do, you'll be cursed because you haven't trusted in God. And you shall be made to live in a dry and parched place in the wilderness. Some would say, I don't understand. If God loves me, why does He let me walk through these dry and desolate and parched places? As Brother Wynn so often says, I don't want to be offensive. I pray that I am not offensive. I pray that what comes out of my mouth will not cause anybody any hardship or anguish. But can I tell you, I can't change the Word. Can't change God's ordinances. Nor would I try to add to or take away from His statutes and precepts. I've told you and confessed before that sometimes the Spirit of God is offensive to me. That's what I call conviction. And thank God for conviction. Because if it hadn't been for conviction, I probably would have never changed. But He convicted my heart. The hidden things of my heart. People don't understand why they seem to be going through. Why is there so much problems in my life? Why are there so much circumstance? Why can't I seem, amen, to have peace and joy? It's because you're trusting in things that will never give you lasting peace and joy. The material things of this life, the things that are openly advertised on the TV, only give you a little bit of pleasure for a very short time. But I know God who can wash away the old man and create a brand new creature. How many knows what I'm talking about? For you can not only have peace and joy, but peace and joy that is everlasting. And that is eternal. Of all of the warnings of the prophetic words of Jeremiah the prophet, and I don't believe he concocted these words. I don't believe no man could do that. I believe it was sent from God through the prophet. Of all of the warnings, of all of the bad things that could happen to the unbelieving heart, to the unrepentive heart. Please understand, we're talking about basically the spiritual heart, not necessarily the organ or the pumping material or physical heart. But there is an inward spirit within us that seemingly is the last thing that we relinquish to God. We relinquish our body, we relinquish our mind, but sometimes that spirit of man, that desire to do what man wants to do, and say, God, are you all right with this? I need you to be all right with this. No, I just need to be right with God. I don't need Him to be all right with what I'm doing. I don't need Him to be all right with what I'm saying. I need to be right with God, and everything else will work out. But even through all of the warnings, even through all of the things that would happen to the nation of Israel, especially Judah, if they did not turn back from their backsliding ways and repent to God, all of this devastation, all of this turmoil would be heaped upon their head. There is an alternative. Thank God. I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There is an alternative. You don't have to be miserable. You don't have to be concerned. You don't have to be fearful. If you will accept Jesus Christ today, if you will let Him wash away the impurities of your heart, all of the things, all of the sin, all of the things that have been hidden and locked away for so long, if you say, Lord, cleanse me, purge me. Lord, fill that void with your Holy Spirit. Because Jeremiah uses verse 7 and 8 as an alternative. He said, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Can I get a witness? And whose hope the Lord is. Let me just pause for just a minute. I'm very guilty of this. I'm very guilty of using the word hope in the wrong frame. I believe it was the psalmist David said, my hope is in God. Sometimes I'm guilty of saying, I hope this situation works out. Come on. Or I hope this, or I hope that, or I hope that doesn't happen. We throw that word around a lot, just like we use the word love a lot. We use the word love a whole lot. When I use the word love, I want it to mean something. God is love. I want to love Him. And I want to place my hope in Him and not just hope for anything else. Because I am told in the Word of God, amen, that He supplieth my needs. So my hope is in God. And the prophet said, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, which is the exact opposite of those parched and dry places in the wilderness, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he cometh. Don't even realize it. I'm not talking about thermostat right now. I'm talking about the heat of all these situations. Somebody said, sister, I don't know if I can stand it like you do. I don't know if I can stand all that heat. What heat? Woo! So I'm planted by the rivers. My roots are deep in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Oh, when everything around me is dry, my leaf is still green. When everybody else says it can't be done, I said, yes, it can. When everybody says, look how bad it is, I say, look how good it is. Look how good God is. Look how great God is. Hallelujah. What heat are you talking about? There is an alternative. Praise God. Amen. Shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green. Glory to God. Turn to your neighbor. Say, my leaf is green. Shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Boss is on vacation. Wife's in a good mood. Car's running great. Boy, we just yielding fruit. God's good. God's great. Can't wait to get to church to testify. Whoa, God, give me a raise this week. But you let that heat come down. You let that boss come back from vacation And his wife spent all of his money, and he's in a bad mood. Production is down. And it's your fault. Oh, God. And this weather. God, what are you doing? Hot, cold, raining, huh? Dear Lord. And what's up with my wife? I believe in equal opportunities. What's wrong with my husband? He thinks the couch is his throne. He won't even move his legs when I bring the basket in to fold the clothes. What's up? We got a dishwasher and he puts the all the plates in the sink. It would be too much to ask him to wash the whiskers out of the bathroom sink when he shaves his face. And why does he not know how to put the lid down when he knows how to take it up? God! And we become so absorbed with things around us, we can't be fruitful. We measure our blessings by things around us and not what that is within us. Job, testify. Job, tell me what it is to know when you've lost everything near and dear around you. You don't grumble. You don't complain. You fall down and worship God and said, naked I came into this world and naked I'm going to leave. Blessed be the name of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We need to be just as fruitful in those times of lean as we are in the times of plenty. Because our leaves shall remain green. What is the difference? On one, there is pronounced judgment. There are consequences. There's the loss of heritage. There's the destination of living in an unproductive manner, serving the enemy in a land that's not known, being cursed in that he trusted in man and not God. What is the difference to the blessing of the man who trusts and hopes in the Lord, and the promise that he is like a tree that's planted by the waters? With the word of God saying he will not be devastated by the heat that cometh. Amen. That his leaf shall remain green. And he'll still be yielding fruit in the time of drought. Glory to God. Boy, that's deep. See, that's deep. Why? Simply because his heart is right. Not that he made it right. Not that he's any more holier than anybody else. Not that he has read the Bible through 20 times. Not that, you know, you can read the Bible through 20 times, but unless you give your life and your heart to Jesus. Amen. And then you'll want to read it 20 times. Amen. Not after. You'll want to read it. You'll live on his word. Because his heart is right. The Lord said, I, the Lord, search the heart. How many knows what an inspector is? Have you ever worked at a plant or a place where the inspection was going to take place? All of a sudden, all the management, now they're concerned about what's going on in the work areas. They didn't play golf that day. They didn't take a three-hour lunch. But they come around, oh, make sure this is clean, make sure that's running right, make sure everything, because the inspector is coming. But lady, why are you saying all that? Because some of us think as long as the preacher thinks everything's all right, as long as my brothers and sisters think everything and I can put on a pretty good show in front of them, everything's all right. But can I tell you, the inspector's coming. Glory to God. And it's not what we say. It's what's in the heart. Has it been cleansed? I got great news for you. It can be cleansed. It can be purged. It can be forgiven. But we have to do it in a repentant state. Hallelujah. Because I, the Lord, search the heart. He knows. Turn to your neighbor and say, He knows. He knows. I try the reins. That's true judgment. Not the pastor tries the reins, not this one or that one, but God tries the reins. To give every man according to his ways. You know, life and death is in the palms of our Lord and Savior, of God. Life and death, spiritual death, or spiritual life. How? According to his doings, what fruit we produce. I want to close with a scripture that is found in Genesis, the very beginning of the written word of God in the book of Genesis. Don't think that this is the only generation that has tried to conceal things within their heart and within their spirit, and it has become an infestation, and it has become a plague upon the land. In the 6th chapter of the book of Genesis, and I'll try to close with this, verses 5 and 6, and God saw, do this again, turn to your neighbor and say, and God saw. We got to quit thinking God doesn't know. We got to keep having the attitude that God, as long as I don't profess it, as long as it, you know, I don't let it out, God doesn't. Yes, He does. He knows. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. What's in your heart? I don't know. Maybe sometimes you've even forgotten to some extent because you've been so good at camouflaging it and keeping it hidden that you think it's not really there. But if it is, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to get it right. Whatever it is. I don't want to start calling things. I don't know. Maybe your heart is as clean and as pure as God could possibly make it. But can I tell you, this word really touched me. It touched me in my heart. It touched me in my innermost being. God, I don't want to be nearly right. Someone once said to be halfway saved is to be totally lost. We have two options, according to the reading of the Word of God. That heavenly kingdom that Jesus Christ Himself has went away to prepare, that where He is we might be also, or that eternal damnation that we refer to as hell. One of two choices, hot or cold, right or wrong, what is your destination? What's in your heart? Would you stand? Every head bowed. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that we all consider the seriousness of Your Word. The warning of the prophet Jeremiah to Israel still holds to this world that we're living in today. Father, I pray that Anyone here under the sound of my voice, God, who's battling with something that has been a part of them for years. Father, I pray that we just come clean with it. Father, that we just pour it out to you right now. We know we have an alternative. We know you are a forgiving God. We know that you are full of grace and mercy. Father, help us to take advantage of that now. Father, I pray that these words that went out today, not because of I said it, but because of they're in your holy word, I pray that it will make a profound effect upon our lives as we go forward to live our life for you, not for ourselves. Father, I close this prayer with an open invitation that if there's anyone here today, forget about who's here, forget about what people think, forget about what people may say, because if they're saying or thinking something contrary to you coming down here, then they need to purge their heart. But if you see a need, if you feel a need, please come. Please come right now. This is your open invitation to make it right. I will not tarry. If God can't move you, I can't. But I want you to know that if not here, and if there is something, get it right. Get it right. May God bless you. I do love you.